Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you.
one more I'd like to hear. I'd like you to hear, and then bring it back from this week. I'd like to read something to you tonight, and I'd like to hear. I'd like you to hear this, which I thought was really quite good. It's called "Stand By Me."
This song says, "No matter who you are, no matter where you go in your life." At some point, you're gonna need somebody to stand by you.
Thank you.
I should have tried to get a newer track. This one is played about 300. It's a shame. I have to stop this because the voices are. We attract to ourselves what we most desire. This truth has been known to mankind since mankind was first created. I desire peace and tranquility, and I find a way to achieve it. I desire truth, and I find it. I desire love, and I receive it. I desire knowledge, and it becomes available. I desire friendship, and I create it. What I most desire, I will receive. I will exist because I exist. I cannot create what I do not most desire to create. It cannot happen. If I desire to be wealthy, I must first understand what wealth is. Is it money? Is it fame and money? Is it love? Is it an endless abundance of love, joy, and financial security? Is it good health? Is it everything I have ever desired or will desire? Great and true wealth is the complement of all these. I have had money. I have known poverty. I have had ill health. I have enjoyed good health. I have had love and lost love. I have found love again and again. And love is not something I can possess. It is something I must give. Friendship cannot be possessed. It too must be given. Wealth cannot be had unless it is given. Wealth in all things is received as a payment is received for services rendered. The greater the service one renders, the greater the wealth they receive. One's own existence is a gift from our Creator. Our parents give us birth. The guidance we receive throughout our lives is given and taught to us. Everything of value is attained through giving. Genius, art, music, literature, science, nature, life, health, happiness, love, friendship, kindness, compassion, mercy, forgiveness, beauty, laughter, companionship. These are all gifts we receive. Why do people steal or murder or lie or cheat or become obsessed with material gain or competition against others, when the way to wealth is simply to appreciate and use the many gifts we already received? The greatest gift we can give or receive is an idea. An idea creates a desire. A desire creates an action. An action creates a result. We are who we become. We become who we most desire to be. The speed by which we evolve into our desired selves depends upon the magnitude of our desire. We cannot become adults until our body and mind grow to that capacity. We cannot become all we desire to become unless we also grow into that capacity. Time is the essential element for the realization of a desire. Good fortune is granted to all who desire it most. A great life filled with abundance can only be achieved through the desire to achieve it. The desire must be transformed into action. It can then be revised, but it must never be diminished. The golden dreams of our imagination will become our reality if they are what we most desire. And I wrote that back in May 15th, 2007, and I feel very much the same way today. We are who we are because we are who we are. You know, I am because I am, and you are because you are. My second essay I wrote on May 18th, 07, and I feel the same way today as I did then regarding this as well. And it's called Desire. And if you go to my website, you can read it. And I put up a picture, my own picture actually, of a rose, that I took in my backyard, a beautiful pink rose. It's called Desire. Desire is not simply a want. It is not a need. It is created by our deepest emotion. Desire becomes all-consuming and all-knowing. Desire is created by love. Desire is created by hate. Desire is power. That once unleashed by the soul upon the human mind can overwhelm the senses and sanity of an individual. Our desire can transform our reality. Love released from the soul overwhelms the human mind by its compelling power. Being in love with someone is the prime example of how the mind can become consumed by desire. When someone falls in love with someone else, the attraction is overwhelming. We do all we can possibly do to be near that person we love. Our existence seems impossible without them, and we create the reality of being with them always. This ideal of love transformed to desire should not be confused with obsession. Obsession is a physical addiction or compulsion that leads to death or despair. A desire forged by love can create a divine union of two or more people. The union can multiply into many members, children, shared families, shared friends, shared visions, all stemming from one's love and desire for another. Obsession is an all-consuming, selfish drive to possess something or someone. Desire is a universal power that must be controlled. Desire can create or destroy. Desire fortifies our bodies and spirits with an unstoppable power. Hatred is as powerful as love if fueled by desire. Someone can hate themselves or someone else to the extent that they take physical action to harm themselves or others. I want so many things in life, but desire few. As I consider what I most desire, I find myself becoming confused with compromise. Can I achieve all I desire? Can I only fulfill one desire at a time? What is my one true and most fulfilling desire that would be most encompassing of all others? What thought must I give greatest priority to that will fulfill my greatest desire? The all-powerful, most compelling desire I have continually strived to achieve is the complete understanding of myself, the full discovery of who I am and what I must do to achieve complete fulfillment in my life. Clarity of my vision creates the direction I follow. Certainty of my own abilities, of my own beliefs, and my own convictions, rooted in years of personal experience and acquired knowledge, convince me I am moving forward correctly toward the fulfillment of my greatest desire. I will know when I have arrived, when the fulfillment of my greatest desire has been realized. I believe complete self-understanding is my single greatest desire. I believe that what I desire most to be will become. I believe the achievement of my ultimate fulfillment will be realized. I believe that only the complete understanding of oneself leads to the center of creation. In ourselves is where the sun rises and sets. In ourselves is where our life begins and ends. In ourselves is our future, past, and present. Complete understanding of who and what we are removes the veil of darkness that prevents us from seeing eternity. Yeah. Well, anyway, that's my story, and I'm sticking to it. I haven't quite been able to achieve my greatest desire, but in the process of doing that, I've achieved so much more. that I didn't expect. And talking to you here tonight is one of them. Reading my work to the world is one of them. Being relevant, I am. It's all encompassing in itself, and in itself, that's why I do it. But let me read another one that I wrote today, and this was revised from an older one that I never published. And I wrote it on Mother's Day, actually, a couple of several years ago. And rewrote it again. And I'm publishing it today for the first time. And it's called My Great-Great-Grandmother. Hey. My great-great-grandmother. A few years ago, I had a psychic reading done by a medicine man and seer. He could read and communicate with the spirits around me. His gift and his curse was that he could see and communicate with the spirits that surrounded each individual. My reading was unsolicited. I had heard of his amazing gift by other people, and he was a seer for change, or for charge, rather. He told me, as we smoked our cigarettes outside the storefront of the Metaphysical Center in Connecticut, that I had a spirit standing next to me. I laughed nervously and asked him who it was. He told me that it was a short, old North American Indian woman in a blue calico dress. Her hair was long and gray, parted in the middle, and braided into one long braid. She was smiling at him and at me and holding my hand. He said that she was my great-great-grandmother. Well, he could never have known that my great-great-grandmother was rumored to be a full-blooded Mi'kmaq. Record of her was untold by my family. My great-great-grandfather was a Frenchman who came to Canada from France as a fur trader and lumberman. He married, or we are unsure, my great-great-grandmother, and had several children. The oldest of her children was my great-grandmother, and my grandfather was the oldest of his family. The oldest of her children was my great-grandfather, and my grandfather was the oldest of his family, 14 children. My father was the oldest of 3 children. I am the oldest son of 3 boys, and I have an older sister. My great-grandfather passed away at 99 years old. He had a full head of white hair, and when he sat in his rocking chair near the window with the sun shining on him, he looked exactly like a sculptured block of marble sculpted in the image of a great Indian chief. His Indian lineage was the dominant trait in his features. My father's mother's parents were also half-blooded Indian. The dominant physical characteristic in her family and my grandfather's dominated my father's features. I received a close resemblance to my father, except I have my mother's very French nose and some say her eyes. The seer told me that my great-great-grandmother was always with me. One day I would know who she was and that she has been guiding me for all my life. I was very surprised to hear this because all of my life I have known of some presence that existed near me. I could never identify it. It never spoke to me. Neither had it ever appeared to me. It always remained silent, but forever smiling at me as a soft white cloud that shone brilliantly in the sunlight behind a mist of billowing white and gray. For the first time in my life, I was able to understand her presence. She was love. She remained in spirit near the earth to witness. around that moment, she became my guardian. I am embarrassed that no one remaining in her lineage, including myself, knew her name. Her name was never mentioned in our family gatherings. Even my grandfather never spoke of her. My great-grandfather never spoke of her either. Why? I asked so many times. No one would tell me. They did not know. It was a well-kept secret, not spoken of. Silence was all they replied. Today I celebrate my great-great-grandmother's life. I did not know her during her life, but I feel I have known her all of my life. I can see her now. I see her beautiful smile. I see her braided silver hair. I see her standing proudly at my side in a red and yellow calico dress. She is a short woman of 5 feet tall. She is laughing at me with her arms stretched outwards toward me. She is laughing at how tall I am. She is wonderful. She is dancing in a circle, singing a prayer softly. The sun is directed over her head. The loving daughter of our medicine man father. His eyes were hers, are hers. His soul reborn. His lineage, through her, is continued and reborn. I am he. I am his great-great-great-grandson. My grandfather was her grandson. My father was her great-grandson. I am my father's and mother's son, and appreciative of all who came before me. True story. It really did happen to me, and I have been able to see her. When I wrote this back in a number of years ago, it was shortly after a short while after that I had this encounter with the spiritualist. And I realized then that, you know, for him to catch that was remarkable. And I was also with Lila that day, and she can recall. But he also said something remarkable to Lila and to myself that was beyond anything that he could possibly know, unless he was talking to the spirits or reading our minds, you know. And he didn't know us from Adam. We had just met. And so these things were all a part of his need to say. I said, why have you told me this? And he said, because I had to tell you. I don't know. You know, he said, I felt I had to tell you. That, and I said, wow. And he was great about that. And of course, I never forgot it. But, yes, I am part Indian. I'm pretty sure of that. But the great, great, great aspect of it really floored me, because I realized that, you know, a long time ago, many years ago, nobody really knew who my great, great, great grandmother was, or said, or, you know, ever talked about her, or where she was from, or what, you know, what her lineage was. And that was very common back in those days. If you didn't want to be known as an Indian or a half-breed back in the, you know, in the 1800s, it was not a cool thing to do. And of course, growing up in the early 1900s, a century ago, you know, that was pretty rough going. It was tough enough being a Frenchman, but to be a French Indian is even tougher. So, they were, lots of times these things were covered up or covered over in history, which happened to be in mine. So, but anyway, I'm not quite finished tonight with this, and I wanted to go further, I had a couple of other things that I posted recently, and but to keep it in the metaphysical realm, if you will, let me go to this one. It's called "I Have Been Told," and I wrote this back in June of 2007, about another 5 years ago. But I've been working on that period of time posting these essays, so being able to go back to some of these things have been really refreshing to me. And what I've done is on every one of these essays I've dated them. Okay. So if you look at, if you go to the right after the title, you'll see the date that it was first published. And this one is called "I Have Been Told." I have been told by thousands of sources to tell what they have told me. In the beginning of all life existed a thought so profound that it resulted in an action that transformed nothing into something. We see empirical proof of the manifestation of this thought by its physical results everywhere around us. This is something everyone inherently knows. We visualize our next immediate thought, which immediately becomes our future. We remember what we did seconds ago as our past. There is no present, past, or future unless we create it first in our minds and then in our actions. This is the essence of our existence. This is what all sages have told us. Now is then, and then is now. In the prison of our reality, we conform to the dictates of others. We assume the roles of leaders and followers, creators and created. I create you, you create me, we create each other as we wish each other to be. I create friends and enemies. No one is my enemy if I do not wish them to be. No one is my friend if I do not want them to be. I cannot love someone unless I want to. I cannot hate anyone unless I want to hate them. Our opinions of each other are shaped by our prejudices, our own experiences, our past and present teachings. What and who we allow to influence us creates the thoughts we hold as our values, our truths, our reasons to do what we do. We have our own thoughts created by our own minds, listened to by our own hearts. Our intuition continually guides us, but so many of us refuse to listen to it. So many of us refuse to accept their own thoughts as sacred. So many of us refuse to elevate ourselves to the status of free thinkers and individuals. If we simply trust the gentle voice of our intuition, then we will always be centered in reality. We will never be wrongly influenced by others, and we will always be able to identify the truth. The truth I speak of is always with us. We are the proof. Our existence proves the truth of our creation. Our existence proves the truth of our own ability to create. We are the results of a thought. When we are born, we become the co-creators of our destiny, the co-creators of our own creation. Those who perish young are victims of their own thoughts and thoughts of others, or they are fulfilling their destiny. We cannot know another person's destiny except in the way it affects our own. It takes work, learning, trust, faith, knowledge, and wisdom to break the spiritual and physical bonds that imprison us. Some receive all at young ages. Others receive gifts when they are elderly. Some never become enlightened. The time we receive is understanding of ourselves. The time we receive this understanding of ourselves depends upon the strength, resolve, and intelligence of the individual. Those who cannot see may suffer an eternity of doubt and fear, or their existence may completely end if they do not continue to create it. Our lives can both spiritually and physically cease if we choose to end them. We will all exist by our will to exist? Why are we told we cannot die spiritually, even if we ourselves, we will ourselves to die? Every society strives for the conformity of its members. Every society exists on conformity to rules, laws, and mandated morality of its members. A free thinker is always dangerous to society. He or she is criticized, marginalized, punished, continually reprogrammed by their parents and teachers and other authorities until they either concede to the demand of authority or completely rebel. All of our prophets and sages have taught us to know ourselves above all else, trust ourselves and our God-given intuition to decide what we are to become. We already know. It is within us, speaking to us, directing us forward, guiding every moment we exist. We are created as free thinkers, free souls, free to create with the one who created us, to become what we most want to be. Rebels are what we were created to be. Rebels not against our Creator or ourselves, but rebels against all who oppress us, all who try to deny us our personal freedoms, and to be who we know we are. And that's the name of that one that I have been told. And I based that primarily on my whole life somebody's been trying to tell me bullshit. And I just, don't believe them. I have a problem believing them, and to accept anything blind faith is just foolish, unless you know, and you know who you are, you know what you are. You create every second of the day, every second, regardless of how it plays out. You are creating it, whether you're going to work to face a certain reality, or you're going not working, you're reading, you're writing, you're walking, you're talking, you're work, whatever you are thinking is what immediately manifests. So what you doing, I have to get up, I have to go here, I have to go there, I have to do this, I have to do that, these are all actions that you're taking to create some, to move forward toward a goal, to even just to conquer the day. To create the day, the way that you want it, so that you can relax and go to bed at night, and wake up the next day, yes. Can I help you? Lila has just entered the room. Yes?
No, I thought you were finished.
No, it's not 9 yet.
Oh.
Can I finish?
Yeah, go right ahead.
Thank you. I lost my place now. Lila, my co-host of life, has entered the room, and now she has confused me, and now she is leaving the room. So I will get back to this. But anyway, tonight is Lila's night off. Whatever. But what I was talking about essentially is that we all know. Trust ourselves, and our intuition to decide what we are to become. We already know what we are. We already know who we are. We already know where we want to go. Now it's just a matter of us doing the deed, making it happen. It is within us, speaking to us, directing us forward, guiding every moment we exist. We are created as free thinkers, free souls, free to create with the one who created us. To become what we want to be, what we most want to be. Rebels are what we were created to be. We're rebels, folks. Rebels not against our Creator, not against God, and not against ourselves, but we're rebels against all who oppress us, all who try to deny us our personal freedom, and to be who we know we are. I mean, every religion, every government, Every teacher, everybody I've ever had has been trying to get me to do something I didn't want to do or believe something I think was bogus, right? And, you know, it finally took me all these years. I wrote this in 07, you know, June 4th of 07. And I still believe this today, you know. And there's a price you pay as a free thinker. And you're criticized, marginalized, punished, reprogrammed. And you have to, it happens. But every so often, one of us get out and we raise hell, you know, because we start making people think again. And that's the last thing anybody in the government or religion wants you to do. Anybody who controls our societies does not want you to be a free thinker. They want to manipulate your mind, manipulate everything that you hear, manipulate everything you learn, okay? And don't think out of the box. I used to have that happen to me all the time when I was in school. You know, I'd say, what if this, what is that, what is that? And they look at me like, that's not the way it is. You can't talk, you can't think that way. It's one way, and that's the only way. You know, and when a college professor tells you that, you know you got a problem right away. So, but anyway, to make a long story short, I'm L.A. Steele, and you're listening to what I think, if you're interested. And I hope that you think alike, and I hope a lot of people do. And this goes all out to all the free thinkers out there. So please check my new website. It's the same name, it's just a brand new design. I thank Rob Bregman, my buddy, web designer, who put it together for me. And it's called lasteelshow.org. And I hope you get to it and enjoy it. And I'm going to leave you now. I think I've got about a minute left. I've got 2 minutes left. What I'm going to do, I was thinking, well, maybe I could play another song out here, but I've only got about a minute. I guess I'll leave you with that. And I was going to play my favorite song, and I'll go over time playing it because I love it so much. But it's called the Redemption Song. And hopefully I get enough time to play that. I should repost that to make it work. But, yeah. So with that, folks, I'm going to end the song tonight and play us out with the Redemption Song. But you can check that out on my website, LASchoolShow.org. And I hope you have a really nice evening. And good night, everybody.